right. So this is our new church world. We're testing it out today. Everything's working pretty good so far. It's very big. All right. So turn our Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8.
Good chapter. Oof.
I think sooner or later, if the Amplifier just works, we can go back doing announcements and then like all that stuff when we can. But today we're just going to just not risk it. We're just going to go into some, get straight into the message. All right. John chapter 8. Start here in verse 30 to 36. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those which believed on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answer him, Amen. We, Abraham's seed, were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you bless this message. Give me utterance. And let this be a blessing to the people here and to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. The title of my message is Free for Real. Free for Real. You know, we have our conference coming up and on the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, we'll be talking about our freedom in Christ, but I don't want to wait. You know, I want to talk more about it. And we just finished Galatians, and I mean, a lot in Galatians about our freedom. I have 3 points today for today's message. And I hope you pay attention and listen, because I do think this can be edifying to the body here. Grace, right? We say we're a grace church. And what does that mean? What does grace mean? Listen, grace is not God putting you on probation. Grace is God tearing up the scoreboard and throwing it away. The good news of the gospel is simple. We ask people, hey, what is the gospel? And most of the time, people can't tell you the gospel. They'll tell you, oh, well, you know, it's a Bible verse. Or they'll say, go to church, be a good person, turn from your sins. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is simple, clear, and it's beautiful. It's that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And by doing that, by believing that, we're made righteous, we're made holy, we're made perfect, regardless of our state and condition. It doesn't matter what we done or who we are. See, religious thinking is always trying to put a leash on grace. Yeah, grace is good, but be careful, they'll say. Or, hey, grace is amazing, but don't preach it too much. Or, hey, grace is good, but just make sure people behave. But real grace isn't cautious. It's wild. It's free. It's unconditional. It doesn't wait for apologies. It walks straight into the mess and wraps arms around you and says, yeah, you're mine. It's finished. I love you. Grace doesn't make people reckless. Grace makes people alive. The only ones who are scared of God's grace are the ones trying to control people. And that's what the institutional churches are doing. Keeping you enslaved. Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. The religion will use the knowledge of good and evil to enslave your conscience, to keep you in fear, to keep you in bondage, to keep you in guilt. The whole purpose of Christ coming down here was to set your conscience free. It sets you free from that, from law, from bondage, from guilt and shame. So grace has no chains on it. It's wild, yeah. But people, when you preach more on grace, they'll say people just go wild and go crazy. That's why in churches they only preach rules and regulations and commandments. Even though Jesus has abolished the law, we're on this side of the cross. There is no law. It's been abolished. There's no demand on you. Jesus did it all. He finished his work. He went sat down at the Father's right hand. Jesus did it all. All we can do is simply believe and rest. But religion wants you enslaved. And I was thinking about, you know, what am I going to preach today? What message? I was up all night. And by the way, I slept like 5:15 EST time. I saw the time. I had to get up. Church is going to start in 10, 15 minutes. But this morning I was thinking, I was praying. I said, what can I preach? You know, usually I prepare my sermons in advance. And I was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to preach about today. And then the Lord led me to this. Freedom. Freedom. See, grace breaks the chains that religion keeps tightening. I was on this live stream and I was thinking to myself, these people, they were, these are Christian brothers and sisters. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a great, you know, grace-centered people. And what do? They try to what? Put chains on grace. Yeah, grace, but. Grace, yeah, you're free. Yeah, you have grace, but. I tell you what, when you go to a church and they say, but, you better run away. Run far away from that force. What happened in that live stream is I saw these brothers in Christ, and I saw that they were putting chains on the grace of God and limiting it. You're partly free. You're partly forgiven. You're partly righteous. Jesus partly did his work, but you have to get to work now. No. See, the Christian life is not about repaying God. This is not a transaction. The Christian life is not about getting rewards and getting favor and getting blessings. No, the Christian life is about enjoying your God and what he has accomplished on this side of the cross. Enjoying the love that's already yours. Enjoying all spiritual blessings. Enjoying his acceptance and growing in that. God's love isn't based on your performance. Your standing between you and God is not based on how you're living. It is solely based on the finished work of Jesus. That goes to my second point. God's love isn't based on your performance. God's love for you does not go up and down with your behavior. When you fail, he doesn't pull away. When you succeed, he doesn't love you more. And when you fall apart, he doesn't flinch. Okay. Staff, please, when anyone gets close like that, just kick him. All right. So when you fall, he doesn't flinch. You can make foolish choices and suffer the natural consequence, but the consequences are not God's punishment or condemnation. That's just part of the fallen world we live in. Right? Don't confuse the horizontal life with the vertical. God. That makes sense. You and God are secured. Nothing will change that. Right? If you do something dumb, you'll feel it, right? But that's not God getting mad at you or punishing you. No. Why? Because God took the full punishment at the cross. And guess what? Dead people don't get charged new crimes. You died with Christ. At the cross, what happened? God judged our flesh. And what does that mean? Meaning all our virtues, our goodness, our sins, our lusts and afflictions were judged. God was done with the flesh. He was done with it. No longer seeking approval from it. He says, my spirit will not always strive of man. He's done with the flesh. And yet, what are many Christians doing? Trying to keep it alive, putting rules on it, putting regulations, demands on it. And that brings in frustration, guilt, and shame. When the Bible says, I come to set you free, Jesus came to set you free, and when you're free indeed. There's no condemnation anymore. This is the good news of the gospel. See, we believe the gospel to get saved, but the Christian life is about resting in the gospel, growing in the gospel, letting the gospel become our food, our drink, our meat, our honey, our milk, letting it be our fast. We feast on it. We eat it. I think to myself when in this live stream I was in, I said, if this is what Christianity is, I'll denounce my faith because there's no way anyone can live like this. Ain't no way that Christianity is about self-improvement, earning God's love. What was the purpose of the cross? Were we forgiven or partly forgiven? Was the work finished or was it partly finished? I need to know. And what God told me. In John 8, the Son of Man makes you free. You're free. No ifs and buts. No double jeopardy. It's not a trick. It's not God saying, hey, even though I finished all the work, I did it all on the cross, I still want something in return. That's double jeopardy. But God said it's done. It's finished. There's no double jeopardy at all. You're free. There's no chains on. Listen, your conscience. Christ came to purge your conscience from those dead works. Purge your conscience from the conscience of sin. Why? Because he dealt with it on the cross. Your sins are gone, taken away, not counted, not seen, not remembered. The scoreboard's gone. And in Hebrews 10:17, he says, I will remember their sins no more. No more. Past, present, future, they're gone. Doesn't exist. Between you and God, sin does not exist. It's a hostility that's dead. Your sin's been forgiven, made gone. Past, all of it, present, future, all of it. Sins tomorrow that you haven't done yet, they're gone in his eyes. Ain't that good news?
Amen.
That it's gone.
Amen.
That hostility, Paul says in Ephesians 2, the enemy, he calls it, the hostility is dead. But religion wants to keep it alive, to keep you enslaved, to keep you in bondage, to keep you in fear. So they make a big deal about sin. They make a big deal about law. Why? The Bible says the law is the strength of sin. The law stirs up wrath. So when men are preaching law, they're preaching death, Paul says. Why? Because they're making the cross of Christ, right here, here's the cross, a none effect. They're making that cross none effect. The whole purpose of the law was not given to be a rule book for our life. I know we were taught that in churches, but read the Bible. The purpose of the law was given to show our inability to keep it. Romans chapter 3, verse 19, Paul says, I know this, that what the law says, it says who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, the whole world will become guilty before God. That was the purpose of God's law, to shut men's mouth up, to show us we can't live by the knowledge of good and evil. We're guilty before a holy God by this knowledge. Our conscience is enslaved by this knowledge. That's how Satan took us captive, was through the knowledge of good and evil. The first sin in the garden wasn't fornication. What did Satan say to Adam? You can be like God if you knew right from wrong. The first sin in the garden was thinking you can justify yourself before God by your works. You can be holy. You can be righteous from God, apart from God himself. That was the sin in the garden. And when Adam ate the fruit and Eve ate the fruit, nothing changed about them physically. It was their conscience that changed. It became enslaved through this knowledge. It was never God's design for Adam to know him being naked. According to the law, being naked was a shameful thing. But before Adam ate, God was comfortable with Adam and his nakedness. Zero shame, zero guilt, zero performance. But Adam changed when he ate that knowledge. And his mind, his conscience became guilty, enslaved. I can imagine what Adam felt. We sure have a glimpse of it, right, in religion. But I bet what Adam felt in his conscience was way worse than we think. He was enslaved. Guilty, he says. I'm guilty of this nakedness. God, why did you tell me I was naked? It was never God's design for him to know that. What did God do when Adam, when God came down here, he said, Adam, where art thou? He wasn't mad. He wasn't yelling. He said, Adam, where art thou? Adam said, God, I ran from you because I was naked. And God said, Adam, who told you this? Who told you that you were naked? That should show that that was never God's plan for you to know that being naked was shameful. So what did God do? When God saw what Satan did, so God had to give the law now. Because men thought they can live by this knowledge of good and evil. So God gave the law as a covenant to Israel. Not to save them. not to justify them, but to show them, show men, that no one can live by this knowledge. No one can live by this message, for it's impossible. So God said, this is what I declare what is good, and this is what I declare what is wrong. This was in the tree. Good luck. And if you read the Old Testament, honestly, kings fell, nations fall. Why? It was to show men's inability to live by this knowledge. But there was good news. The seed was promised in Genesis 3:8 to crush the serpent's head, to set the captive free. Old Testament slavery stories, people make a big deal about it, but that's a picture of our conscience. How Satan enslaved us. It was progressive revelation with foreshadowing. The law was a foreshadow of things to come. But Jesus came and he set us free. At the cross, he abolished the law, setting us free from it, setting our conscience free. He didn't just forgive our sins. No. He no longer sees them, no longer remembers them. They do not exist between you and him anymore. The hostility is dead. And the way God sees you right now, no matter what state and condition you're in, God sees you as holy, righteous, and perfect because of what he did at the cross. And when we talk about love, people say, because remember, people only think you can love, but here's the thing, the law can't produce love. People think, oh yeah, love our neighbors, but yet those people don't love their neighbors. The purpose of the law was to show you, you don't love how you ought to love. No one does. The law can't produce the love it wants to produce. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, the law is the strength of sin. In Romans 4:15, the law works wrath. Hebrews chapter 7, the law perfects nothing. But there's someone out there whose righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the law, and that's the Lord Jesus. There's someone who can love, someone who can bring joy, someone who can bring peace, and that's the Lord Jesus. And when we believe in him, he comes to live in us. And the Bible, I'm going to make this very clear. The Bible makes it very clear that the flesh profits nothing. There's nothing good in your flesh as a believer. Nothing. So any good we do as children of God is not in our own strength. The Bible says, when I try to do good, evil's with me, Paul says. Any good we do as children of God is Christ in us. We learn to love not from the letter of the law, but from the newness of spirit. We learn to serve one another, not by commands and regulations, but by the newness of life. We learn to enjoy our God from that. But religion wants you enslaved through the knowledge of good and evil. This goes to my third point. Grace lets you be fully human. So when you fall, God doesn't flinch. You do something dumb, you'll feel it. Do something wise, okay. But neither changes how God feels about you. Remember this. God's feelings towards Adam never changed. It was Adam's conscience that changed. You're not a fixer-upper. You're not getting better so God can love you. You're loved right now. Fully, freely, and finally today. The cross didn't make you lovable. The cross declared you loved. I think we need to remember that. Many people need to hear this, that you're not earning God's love. He already loves you. The way he feels about you doesn't change. The cross of Christ declares you loved. That's a love that we don't understand fully, unconditionally, no matter who you are. But grace lets us to be fully human. Grace gives you space to breathe again. Religion makes people weird, right? Tense, exhausted, always putting on a mask. Paul calls it emulation, pretending to be something that you're not. I know for us nerds out there, emulation is more of a computer thing, right? Where we're playing old school games on, you know, like an Xbox 360 emulator, whatever. But emulation in the Bible is pretending to be something that you're not. pretending to be something that you're not. And religion makes you pretend to be something that you're not. This goody good boy, you know, this perfect holy person, you know. Oh, hey, sister. Hey, brother. Mm-hmm. Lord's just good today, ain't he? The Lord is so good, isn't he? The fake smile, the fake laugh, the fake love. That's what religion does. Religion makes people exhausted. But grace makes people normal again. Amen? Free to be honest with ourselves. Free to be messy. Free to be weak. Free to laugh again. Free to stop pretending. Free to stop performing. Free to stop managing an image. Free to be human. See, people think grace dehumanizes people. No, grace rehumanizes people. It takes the pressure off. You don't have to fix people. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to impress God. You don't have to earn what's already yours in God. You already have the approval of God. He's already accepted you in the beloved the moment you believed. Grace doesn't just free you from bondage, but grace frees you from yourself. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does. Grace is what matters in life. When it comes to growth, tragedy, loss, love, grace is what matters. God's grace. And we need to see now that Christianity is not about being a better person or self-improvement or self-reformation. It's about enjoying our God and what he did for us. God did all the work at the cross. He did it all. And he wants you to come rest. He says, let my people go. You know, I know religion has you enslaved, but God is saying to religion, let my people go. He wants you to rest. He wants to know you're loved and accepted. Because here's the thing. It's not based on your behavior or works or performance. It is based on what Jesus has done at the cross. My back's hurting. Sorry. I'm going to sit down for the rest. I slept on it wrong. All right. But Jesus did all the work for you. So you can. All you have to do is believe. And when you believe, you're accepted, you're forgiven, righteous, holy, all in the nanosecond you believe. And right now, no matter what state you're in, no matter what condition you're in, you're perfect. You're loved. You're accepted. Grace makes you free. And I think some of you need to forgive yourself. Grace makes you free. So you know what? You're free to forgive yourself. Free to let go of the shame, the bondage. You're free just to be you. You're not in debt to anyone. You're not a debtor anymore. You're not in debt to that person who's making you feel bad. You're not in debt to anything like that. You're free in Christ. You're free to rest. You're free to come to church, not come to church. Because no matter what, your stand before God is secured. You're free to be you. You don't have to come to church and you don't have to come here and pretend to be something that you're not. Oh, this is a church. I gotta watch what I say. Or this is this is Cobra. I gotta act a certain way around them. No, you're free to be you. Grace should make us be ourselves. You're not waiting one day to be free. You're free now. Because Jesus said in John 8, you're free indeed. No fine print, no conditions, no probation, no leash, just freedom, real, scandalous, unbelievable freedom. And yeah, some people do go wild when they understand their freedom. Let's be honest, we all have. Okay? That's just part of it. But then you start to see the fellowship within the veil. You start to really enjoy God in all things you do and see him, acknowledge him. You start to rest. You start to say, it's okay. You know what? it's okay not to always be spiritual. You're free from that too. You always have to be spiritual. You know, if you can't cleave to the gospel sometimes, that's okay. Because God is still faithful. Your standing before him is secured. There's days where I can't even think spiritual thoughts. There's days where I can't even think spiritual. All I can really do is just simply just be me that day and yet knowing that God is for me. Even in that state, God said, hey, I'm working all things out for your good. I'm drawing you. You've been brought with my blood. I know me and God are good. So there's days where, what? I'm not always spiritual. Think about that. There's days where I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. But I know my standing is secured, and I know I'm loved and accepted, that God in heaven is never against me. He's always for me. And that's the thing that you need to realize, that when we think things are going wrong in our life, God, this is God. No. God says in the Bible that he's working all things out for our good. He's for us. So when things go wrong in life, that's just part of the fallen world. But yet, the Father in heaven is turning that around for the best for you, working all things out for your good. So with the sermon, I hope you see that you're free. Don't condemn yourself. And this is why I hate about these people in this live stream, where it's like, they think Christianity as slavery. But man, they missed the whole point of Jesus, bro. The whole point of the finished work. And these are people who know that how to go to heavens by faith. But then they tell you that the Christian life is all about you. All about you getting to work. No, man. I don't know what book they're reading. I don't know what God they have. I don't know what Bible they're reading. But we see what Christianity is all about in the epistles of Paul. Rest. Joy. Growing in grace. Growing in the love we have. The acceptance we have. The peace we have of our Lord. He is our peace. But why do they preach that? Because they're trying to keep the hostility, the enemy Paul talks about, alive. And they do that through two different ways. They either keep sin alive or the law. That's how they keep the hostility alive. But here's the good news. We died to both. Our sins are gone. We're no longer under the law. The Christian life, the Bible says this. The just, the believer, shall live by faith. The same way you got saved. Which is what? Believing in Jesus and nothing else. Resting in him. Agreeing what he has said about you is true, that you're holy, that you're righteous, that you're perfect now, that you're complete now. In Colossians 2:10, he says this, you are complete in him. You lack nothing. Oh, sorry about that. I had a cough. You are complete in him and you lack nothing. Nothing. You lack nothing. God loves you. You're justified. You're sanctified. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. God is always pleased with you and satisfied with you, never disappointed with you. Why? Because of what he did on the cross. Many Christians are stuck on the Sermon on the Mount. We're not over there anymore. That was pre-cross. That was under law. We're not there anymore. We're on this side. The work's done. It's finished. It's been completed. Now come rest. Come rest. I'm going to use a little dark analogy here. Jesus and the law. And I'll show you how free we are and really what he did. Now listen, this is too much. You just got to deal with it. Let me pull it up. Colossians 2 says this. The law was contrary to us. The commandments were contrary to us. He took it out by nailing it to the cross. Amen. Blotting out the handwritings, it says, of ordinances that was contrary to us, nailing it to the cross. So picture like this. Now listen, if Hitler was a baby, and you had a chance to stop him, would you take that chance? Now, it's a crazy analogy, but listen to me. Let me use what I mean. The law is like that dead, like a child in the cradle. Jesus went in the cradle with that child, the law, and strangled it. That's what Jesus did with the law. That's what he did with the law. He killed it. Terminated it at the cross. It's been terminated. There is no law anymore against you and God. You're dead to it. You've been free from it. So that, what does that mean, that we're free from the law? We die to the law, Bible says. We die to its demands. We die to its judgments. And we die to its power to condemn us. And I tell you what, Jesus makes it very clear. Whoever breathes life into its corpse again will join it in the grave that he dug for both. Paul talks about vengeance from the Lord. He says, they have not all obeyed our report. Not all obeyed the gospel, he says. So in flaming fire, he'll take vengeance on them. The religious world, with their self-righteousness, with their enslavery, with their trapping people and keeping the sheep, the children of God, enslaved in bondage, their day's coming. When Jesus took the law out, he dug two graves, one for the law and one for them. And that their day's coming, amen. But right now, we got to spread the message of freedom. We're free. Enjoy it. Enjoy your freedom. Enjoy the love. Enjoy the acceptance you have. Enjoy God. Enjoy him today. You're free. You're free to be human. You're free to be weak. You're free to be reckless. You're free to be honest with yourself. You're free to be you. This is grace for grace. Christ himself has made you free. The law is dead. You're alive. Alive to dance. Alive to drink. Alive to laugh. In the face of every demand, of every commandment ever spoken, you're free from all that. And freedom is not a doctrine to be debated. It's the gospel as our sword. It's the grace as our shield. It cannot be debated. It is the truth. We have no master, right? Well, Christ is our master, sure. But he's not a tyrant like the law. Look at me. We have no master but Christ, sure, but he's not a tyrant. He slew the old master, the law, and he said, go be free. Praise God. So we go. And none shall stop us. We're free to rest. We're free. And I tell you what, all these commandment speakers are Jews reborn. Sucking at Moses' tit. Like, I use a crazy analogy here, but you gotta listen to me. That's what it is. While Christ starves, we're not going to drink Moses. We're not going to drink Moses. We're going to drink of the Lord Jesus. And anyone who's preaching the law, I'll tell you what, the Bible says this, they're preaching death. So the commandment preacher, the commandment teacher is a Jew reborn from hell's womb. His words are the serpent's hiss in the garden. Jesus crushed his head. Amen. We're free from all that. Law is dead. You're dead. God has accepted you. God has embraced you because of the finished work of Jesus. And any man who's preaching contrary to this, saying this is not enough, that there's demands on you, there's expectations on you, they're from Satan's pit. They're preaching up with the serpent's message. And you better remind that serpent he's dead. That our Lord has crushed his head. Amen. I'm tired of playing nice with these people. I tried to. But in recap, point one, we'll end with this. Sorry. I'm just rambling now, but just rambling. All right, point one. Grace breaks every chain. Amen. Real grace. It's wild. It's free. It's unconditional. Point two, God's love for you isn't based on your performance. When you fail, he doesn't pull away. When you succeed, he doesn't love you more. When you fall apart, he doesn't flinch. He embraces you. Praise God. And three, grace rehumanizes us. Free to be honest. Free to be messy. Free to be weak. Free to laugh again. Free to stop pretending. Free to stop performing. And free to stop managing an image. Grace rehumanizes us. It takes the pressure off. It's not my job to fix people or fix myself. It's not my responsibility. I don't have to impress God, nor do I have to impress you guys. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I'm free from all that. I'm free to just be me. Hi, I'm Cobra. Nice to meet you. And You're free to be yourself. You don't have to justify yourself before me or God. God has declared you clean. And because you're here today and you believe the gospel, because God declares you clean, I see you as clean. I see you as perfect because God sees you as perfect. That's how we ought to see each other in the body of Christ. It's seeing us how God sees us. All right, I've been going for about 35 minutes. Good sermon, short, good sermon. All right, Lord, we thank you for this new world. We thank you for Green Apple. He's here with us today, Lord, that they got us this new world. Lord, it's beautiful. It's big. We thank you for it. We think that there's been no crashes today. One troll, but he's gone. But Lord, I thank you for the people here, the body of Christ that's here today, the sisters and the brothers here, Lord. I pray you bless them and help them to see that they're free. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's been struggling, has been hurt by religion, I hope they see, Lord, that you never intended for them to be enslaved, but intended for them to be free, free from bondage, free from guilt, free from shame, free from judgment. And you want them to rest and spend eternity with you freely, Lord. We thank you, Lord. There's no other God like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.